May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Who is in charge? It's very easy to often ask this question of who has power, who is in authority. When we think of authority, it's easy to think of maybe our parents, our bosses, maybe somebody who has more capital than I do. And while the rest of the world relies on princes, rulers, earthly powers, you and I, we rely on the Almighty God, who is ruler of all and ruler above all. At the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus reveals his divine authority over all things. He is the creator, the sustainer, and the giver of life, which no earthly ruler or president can ever, ever give. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus reveals himself to be God. He reveals himself to be the one who has power over all, because only Jesus can give you life. Our gospel reading begins with Jesus, along with Peter, James, and John, climbing up the mountain of transfiguration. And Matthew tells us that he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Before the eyes of the three disciples, Jesus is transfigured. He is able to show his divinity to the eyes of his disciples. His physical appearance was drastically changed so that his divinity could be undeniably seen by his disciples. Jesus has been manifested as the giver of life on this mountain and the giver of every good gift, because Jesus is God. And now, to be sure, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has always been true God and true man. As St. John writes, the Word became flesh. This same Jesus, who is the Word by which the Father created all things and created you and me, the eternal and divine Jesus became fully man. This Word became man without forfeiting any of his divinity while in the womb of the Virgin Mary. While this is always true since the Incarnation, it's here in our Gospel reading that Jesus actually reveals his divinity to human eyes on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is a fantastic sight. And if you thought that was it, there's more. Because next to Jesus, glorified on either side, are Moses and Elijah. Two great prophets of Israel have appeared with Jesus. So this is an awesome and a fantastic sight indeed. And these disciples were blessed to be on that mountain and see this fantastic sight. These three men who have journeyed with Jesus throughout his ministry, have watched him teach, have watched him heal, have now seen his divinity right before their eyes. On this mountain, Jesus is the glorified Messiah. And it is at the sight of the glorified Messiah that Peter speaks. Peter, speaking on behalf of the three disciples, says, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while this is hospitable and this is a good thing to us to offer this to the Son of Man, Peter is interrupted by none other than the Father, whose voice comes out of heaven, stops Peter mid-sentence, and says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So while it seemed like a good suggestion, Peter is cut off by the Father. Christ has now been glorified. The prophets are next to him. And Peter wants to engage in the conversation. But Christ is there. We are to listen to him and to him alone. And at the voice of the Father, it was so startling that we're told the disciples fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. While we're tempted to think of our own thoughts and rely on our own opinions for what we think is right, we're to look to Jesus alone. When life gets hard and we get boggled up with our own ideas and our own thinking, the Father's word comes out and says, "Stop. Listen to Jesus. Listen to him alone." Jesus is the one we ought to listen to because he is the King of Kings and has the highest authority of which no one else can overcome. Through Jesus, you were created. You've been given your body, your soul, your eyes, ears, all your members, your reason and all your senses. He's given you your health, your life, and your citizenship. And not just a mere earthly citizenship, but a citizenship with him in eternal life in heaven. And we know this is wonderful. And we often fail at perfectly keeping the Father's will. But the command is we're to listen to Jesus alone. And that's why we're here at church. That's why we come to church. The third commandment says that we should remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And what does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. It's often easy to despise God's word because we think we have our own thoughts. We have our own things in the world that we like to focus on. But God comes through in the preached word and says, "No, listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus and him alone. Because your will and my will, it's tainted by sin and it's not perfect. But Jesus, the giver of life, his will is perfect." And we see this because the story doesn't end at the Mount of Transfiguration. The next story in Matthew's gospel is the next mountain in Matthew's gospel is Mount Calvary. So the transition from the Transfiguration to Mount Calvary might seem like a sad and pitiful kind of comparison, the glorified Christ and the crucified Christ. But there are distinct parallels in Matthew's gospel that point us to Mount Calvary. At the Mount of Transfiguration, there were three disciples, Peter, James, and John. At the foot of Jesus' cross, there were three women, two Marys, and the mother of the Zebedees. At the Transfiguration, Jesus was elevated on a mountain itself. But at Mount Calvary, Jesus was elevated on an instrument of death, the cross. At the Mount of Transfiguration, it was a private event. Only Peter, James, and John were there. But at Mount Calvary, it was a public display for all to see walking along the road. At the Transfiguration, Jesus became light. His face shone as bright as the sun. But at Mount Calvary, a supernatural darkness covered all of the land for hours. At the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was glorified to be the divine Son of God. But at Mount Calvary, we only see a humiliated, beaten man. At the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus had two sainted prophets next to him, glorified, Moses and Elijah. But at the cross, Jesus had on either side of him two criminals hanging up there. At the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father spoke and declared that Jesus was his Son. But on Mount Calvary, Jesus was forsaken. And lastly, at the Transfiguration, God declared Jesus to be the Son of God. But at Mount Calvary, that confession was made by a Roman soldier, a Gentile. In summary, on top of the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was glorified to be the Messiah, the glorified Messiah of whom Israel has waited. But on Mount Calvary, Jesus was revealed to be your Savior. He was revealed to be the giver of life. So when the disciples wanted to remain on the Mount of Transfiguration and make tents for the three, Jesus didn't remain because he needed to continue on his way to Mount Calvary and to the cross. He needed to do this for you. He needed to do this so that you could come to the divine service and receive the preached word, Christ alone, for you in his word and also in his sacraments. Christ took upon all of mankind's sins for you on the cross. He took on the punishment so that you don't have to receive God's punishment, but rather his forgiveness. Jesus knew no sin so that it doesn't stop at the Mount of Transfiguration, but it also doesn't end for you at Mount Calvary. No, through Jesus' death and resurrection from the grave, he gives you the gift of eternal life. Because of Jesus, you look forward to your bodily resurrection. And you don't, your story does not end on Calvary, but continues to a third mountain. It continues to Mount Zion. Commenting on the Transfiguration, or Jesus' death and resurrection has won for you the same glorified eternal life revealed to you at the Mount of Transfiguration and earned for you on Mount Calvary. Jesus has given you eternal life. And commenting on the Transfiguration, Peter writes, "We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for when we were on the holy mountain, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Jesus looks back at, or Peter looks back at the Mount of Transfiguration and sees how the preached word, Jesus alone proclaimed, continues this life-saving work of Jesus into the world through all ages. For the preached word is nothing other than Christ's word. As Paul writes, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Jesus continues to come to you in his preached word so that you also have eternal life. You have no need to fear disease, death, ailment, or strife of this life anymore. Jesus has given you life and continues to give you life through his word and sacrament. Through these means, Jesus saves you. And he continues to be with you through this earthly life. Through Christ's word and sacrament, the story doesn't end at Calvary. It continues to heavenly Mount Zion. And while it's easy to say that, it's not an abstract reality. Mount Zion is a real place, a heavenly home awaited for you, prepared by Christ himself. St. John talks about the heavenly Mount Zion when he sees it in Revelation. He writes, "I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there." So yes, Jesus has prepared a heavenly home for you. And just as he gave you life, he continues to give you the promise of eternal life, which we see on the Mount of Transfiguration. He continues to come to you with the promise of his assured grace through his word and sacrament. So thanks be to God that Jesus was glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was crucified on Mount Calvary and was resurrected from the dead so that he could prepare an eternal home for you on the heavenly Mount Zion. Jesus is the Lord over all things. He is the Lord over death, and he is the giver and sustainer of all you have, including your life. Jesus gives you life, and because of this, you need not to look to anyone else anymore for needs of body and soul, but to him alone. So thanks be to God that Jesus has given you life and continues to be your only source of life for today and for all eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds to Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.